Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Just stop your crying. It's a sign of the times, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus Speller. That man, Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Everyone's favourite, Luke Moore. Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson.
Hello, little hairy man.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. I am a little hairy man, and this is the Football Ramble.
You are the world's, well, certainly in this room, between these four walls.
So when you said the world's...
Yeah, this is my world. The world's favourite little hairy man.
That's right, yeah.
Pete's a little hairless man.
Yeah. I'm so hairless. Yeah. I'm violently hairless.
Violently hairless.
My body like goes, no, I'm not going to bother.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Marcus.
I love the idea that if you were starting a podcast of your own, that would be absolutely not be how to start it.
I am a little hairy man. Hello.
Yeah, this is why we're not on live radio regularly.
Don't play that by and the, many other reasons. Mm.
Don't play by the rules.
No.
No. We don't know where the rules are.
We make the rules and then we ignore them.
Mm. Jeremy Corbyn, get a new rule book.
Is that the rule book? I'm going to tear it in half like Jeff Capes.
Yeah, I don't play by the rules. Their rules.
Yeah.
I got my own rules in my head. I'm not telling you what they are, though.
They'll change. They'll change.
Well, that leads us neatly into the opening question, gentlemen, because there is a snap election coming up. It's been snapped. Mm. And that, you know, snap here to calls a general election to happen. Mm.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
It's like a break glass and a fire alarm.
It's like glow sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right.
That would be so much better if Theresa May came
out.
Out
and just went crack.
Election! And she got the glow. What's she got behind her back? It's the glow stick. She snapped it. We're
is
on.
That, is that how they do flares? Do you snap that to start the flares? Or do you use it like a match?
Is that how you do petrol bombs?
is that the election glow stick? Oh, no, it's the Brexit glow stick.
No!
It's a referendum glow stick. Yeah. Which way are we going to go? Of course, the Frenchies, they've...
Not time for this now, Mark.
No, of course,
we can't do a European election roundup.
The Turkish have just had one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that...
The Dutch. There was a Dutch election.
Yeah. Careful, Jim. All right.
Is that like a Dutch oven?
Stop it. Come on.
Well, if you could launch a candidate for the general election from the world of football, of course, who would you choose? And how would you run their campaign, Jim Campbell?
Well, I'm going to get straight to the point as he does. I would have N'Golo Kante. Because the man's full of running.
Yep.
That's all he ever seems to do. He's a winner, isn't he? He's a proven winner. Even with an underdog like Leicester, he was a big part of that, obviously. He just won the PFA Player of the Year Award, which is sort of like an election,
In Donald Trump's world, that's a winner. He's a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. he wouldn't need a cabinet because he'd do all the jobs for him.
Absolutely. This is it. That's how I'd run his campaign as well. I'd just work him really hard. I'd have him going door to door. And like he'd be doing like two or three separate live interviews on different TV channels at the same time. People are like, this guy's everywhere. He's a marvel. And the campaign slogan would simply be N'Yolo.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right,
he's not a British citizen, though. Is that going to hinder him?
Not to be fair. Fake election.
He could be in the French one.
He could be in the French one.
Although it's a little bit late now, but he gets a bye to the second round or whatever they do.
If anyone could get in there late doors, it'd be him, I think.
Yeah, I would say so.
If anyone could arrive late in the ballot box,
I like the idea of him going door to door, but him physically on his own.
All over the place. He's a worker. He solves problems and he puts out fires.
He wouldn't be good door to door because he would just be too quick. Knock, knock. All right, next one.
He'd get the job done very quickly, though. You go, I'm going to vote for that guy.
He'd need a very good leaflet.
All you need to see is the rosette.
Yeah, and you're there.
And you're away, yeah.
All right, okay. Excellent stuff. Luke, what have you got?
I'll go for Tony Pulis.
Okay.
And I would run on a platform of solidity, reliability and toughness in these troubled, straitened times. If you want to throw anything you like about, I'll be Tony Pulis' spokesperson right now.
Yeah.
Throw any question you want at me about my candidate and I'll answer it for you.
Oh, blimey.
Tony, is it true you headbutted that man?
What we need is a no-nonsense candidate, Pete. He's going to make people answer the questions that need to be asked.
Okay. Well, what do you think of immigration, Tony?
All for it.
Yeah.
Look at my West Brom squad.
Okay. Well done, Luke.
That's all right.
In a fictional land, you've said the right answer as well.
On the headbutton thing, you need a no-nonsense candidate. Mm. You need someone who's going to just do what needs to be done.
Yes, but all prime ministers.
Sometimes headbutting another person is a sign that someone could take a tough decision.
Yeah, but that's one of those stories that actually, if you heard that about a prime minister, you think, oh, I kind of respect that. Whereas the media would try and throw it against him. But if it's kind of like, pig's head kind of business and all that.
Not
we don't
want
that. That's weird. We don't
but Tony Pulis could have taken the easy decision, which would have been to not headbutt that man.
Yeah.
He's taking the hard decision there.
Yeah, finish your shower and don't worry about it. Yeah. But no.
No. Sometimes things have got to be done.
Yeah.
And I am absolutely desperate to hear who Pete's going to run. Pete's campaign. Pete's running the campaign, so it's already brilliant. who's
going to hang on? Before we do, I'd just like to say that Pulis as well, imagine he would be in charge of the whip.
Oh yeah, he would big time.
He'd do it. He would be chief whip and prime minister.
Yeah, he would.
So there, two jobs, Peter. It leads us onto you.
I just think at the moment the Labour Party is incredibly it's in bits, pretty much.
There's disarray.
There's a lot of disarray. There's a lot of backstabbing going on.
Yep.
And I reckon Arsene Wenger is a perfect example. Someone who could sort of deal with that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He could literally lead the Labour Party to greater things because he's dealt with his players not necessarily respecting him.
Has he dealt with it, though? He's not really dealt with it, has he?
And his party not necessarily respecting him.
Yeah.
And I reckon he'd be all right, to be honest. And also loads of buses with lies on the inside.
I feel he might have disconnected with some of his voter base.
Do you reckon? The thing is, Pete would do a battle bus of Wenger, and it would just say on the side of it, Arsene Wenger has won 50 Premier League titles.
P.S. If you want to buy your season ticket, feel free.
The last thing he's going to do is ease the burden on the NHS, let's be honest.
That's an excellent point. It was a bit like when they were running for the Labour leadership, and apparently the little, was it a lie, was it the truth, the Tory voters were signing up to the Labour Party so they could vote for Corbyn.
Yeah.
Well, you'd get Spurs fans signing up because they want Wenger to stay.
Four more years.
I know.
What would be your campaign slogan, Pete? Yes, Veng can.
I did not see it. Fake news.
Everything.
I did not see the referee do that thing.
What do you think about the state of the NHS? Haven't seen it.
Yeah, crime's gone through the roof since you've been charged. I haven't seen anything.
I see no Crimea.
Crimea, now there's another one.
No, come on, not now.
I'd be interested in his foreign policy. Pulis, there's demand for that kind of thing.
Exactly. I will sign all the young Frenchmen.
Right. I'd go for Claudio Ranieri because we need something different. We need a different type of leader. That's what everyone's saying, aren't they?
Yeah.
When we're presented with these different leaders. No, I think we should have stuck with the same. But I think he's a man of the people. He's not the establishment anymore. No. And suddenly, I think if he became the Prime Minister of Great Britain, we'd become very rich very quickly. We don't know how we'd do it. It'd be absolutely baffling to us all. The economy would go through the roof.
I think Claudia would be chewed up and spat out in record time.
Well, but you would have to say that we would get that instant hit.
Yeah.
We go, how on earth have we got here? A bit like Leicester.
He would improve the food of the nation, like Jamie Oliver. He'd get rid of all the chicken sandwiches.
I don't
sandwiches
think the Prime Minister does that, Pete.
I don't think so.
But he does. Ranieri does, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I don't think that's a Prime Minister's role as well.
Healthy eating is very important.
It is.
It reduces the burden on the aforementioned NHS.
If we're voting for anyone out of the Leicester business, I'm voting for Kanté.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's crucial to have Craig Shakespeare as your Chancellor of the Exchequer. and of course, when Ranieri's own party vote him with a no vote of confidence and he gets out, then Shakespeare
can there.
We'll see. And did all right in Europe as well.
Yeah, true.
Could get a good deal.
Could do.
It's quite crucial. I think Jim has to get the points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Luke did vote for me.
I think that's fair. Or should we have a vote to see who gets the points? That would be the best thing to do.
Well, the first past the post system, Kanté can't actually lose because me and Jim are both voting for it. So the best you're going to get.
Pete and I could tactically vote.
Yeah.
You still only get 2-2.
But it doesn't really matter because the Football Ramble is not a democracy.
No.
It's a dictatorship and I decide and Jim's got the point.
Yeah, Thank you. Fair enough.
Can I have a couple of honourable mentions?
Yeah. Please.
Gareth Southgate against his will. That'd be quite fun. He's sort of like the Prime Minister of Football already, isn't he? Yeah. In a sense. That's sort of what the England manager's job is. Yeah. And obviously you'd have to be very careful of Ronald Koeman.
Yes.
Making some sort of power grab.
Indeed, yeah.
Oh, Koeman would be massive Frank Underwood.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
You reckon?
Yeah, absolutely. Big time.
And
big
brilliant time. On Twitter.
Yeah. Indeed.
It would be great. Let's move on to the FA Cup, where Arsene Wenger got a brilliant win against Man City after extra time.
That was more like it.
I was going to say, Jim, you've deserved this.
Yeah, it was nice. It was great. They stood up and they roughhoused Man City a bit, and that was actually nice to see. Them just have a bit of steel to them.
Arsenal, I know this sounds sort of slightly patronising, because perhaps it is, but they beat a big team in a big game, and yes, they got a bit of luck.
Yeah.
The goal
cross that didn't go out.
Aguero's goal.
Yeah.
Which was clearly
over the line.
It's hard to
explain what that was, isn't it?
You're trying
to think there should be a word for that, but there isn't.
The best thing was Aguero scored and it was clearly over the line. And if there was any doubt, Sterling then put it in.
Yeah.
That was nothing to do with it.
It's a little Opta stat for you, fresh from Opta this. Mm. This is the first time Arsene Wenger, as an Arsenal manager, has won a big game.
Since the last one.
I like that stat.
Yeah.
But it's true, we spoke about it before, that in the semi-finals that they won when they went to the final in recent years, which were against Wigan. I think I said Sheffield United.
Yeah, but they won at Old Trafford that year. Do you know what? I knew something happened. Yeah, we talked about this like last week.
Danny Welbeck scored. And they beat Spurs in an earlier round as well in one of those ones. So, yes, of course.
I mean, what I'm saying was, last time we talked about this, we talked about Arsenal Arsenal have potentially quite an easy run to these things, but I knew they'd beaten someone good, but I couldn't remember who it was, and I was thinking of when they won at Old Trafford.
Yeah, there was a great commenter on some online piece that wrote, oh, it's weird, isn't it? Arsenal have had a really easy run to where they are at the moment, and the FA Cup is sponsored by the Emirates. And
what are you trying to say exactly?
Yeah. Absolutely love that.
Absolutely mad.
So there you are. There's your link to the reason why they went through. But look, and this is... It's something I genuinely believe. Is they've overcome a better opponent.
Yeah.
Man City are not massively better, but they're at least...
It was like the penny finally dropped for Arsenal. What we saw in that game was anti-Arsenal. I mean, they had, by their own standards, they had hardly any possession. They just thought, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to dig our heels in. Yeah. We're going to make it difficult for Man City, and we're going to hit them when it hurts, when it counts. And, you know, and the little details, it came up Arsenal. And it must be such a relief for Arsenal fans who have been beleaguered. And it's been, you know, and I'm not taking any pleasure in saying outside of the fact that we try and have a bit of fun on the show, the manager Wenger has been completely beleaguered. If there's one person I feel really, really happy for, it's him, because
absolutely.
I think the players have let him down on occasion. I think finally they've stepped up and tried to win something for their manager. About time too. The fans have given Wenger a lot of stick, and I understand some of the reason behind it, but I haven't agreed with the sort of the method. And Wenger just deserves to have a good bit of happiness out of that result, get into another cup final. If they win three FA Cups in 4 years, that's an amazing achievement.
Brilliant. I mean, it would be his seventh as well, which would be a record. Which is amazing. I mean, the six he's already won is amazing anyway, but yeah, it's it would be great. I think, as you say, like when Arsenal work hard and they press hard, it's a reminder of the talent they do have in the squad. You know, it's not like they're, you know, they should be so much higher up in the league than they are. I think we'd all agree if they just had that confidence there. And it's sort of how they approached the game when they beat Chelsea earlier in the season.
Is Ozil allergic to being in the box? It's every time he approached it, he seemed to lose the ball off all over or dither.
Some of his decision making, and when he got into a decent position, I thought he might have done that. But I mean, he looked knackered, and it was you know, it's towards the end of the season. So, but I do agree with you.
He's allergic to goals. He just prefers assists.
Well, that's he likes space. That's his goal.
Maybe that's why Oxlade-Chamberlain's right. I'm going to have to pick out someone completely. There's Monreal. That'll do nicely.
Actually, both those players had really good games, and they've been criticised for their form dropping quite a bit this season. It was good to see. I also love that Monreal's goal was a low volley across the deck. You don't really see that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a daisy cutter.
Of his right peg as well.
It was a lovely one. Yeah. What was great is Arsenal going to a back three. When they've not really played that against a
last
really
time they
good
played that was in 97, aside from
Middlesbrough.
Week.
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, against a very good opponent, a big game, and it worked. And the players, and as you say with Oxlade-Chamberlain, that maybe gets the best out of him. You think of him; he's rapid, he's got great work rate, he can put a ball in every now and then.
He's been shifted around quite a lot, hasn't he? Yeah. When I was talking about the little details earlier, I was talking about the time obviously City hit the woodwork. I think a couple of times.
They did
that Sané thing you guys mentioned earlier. Delph had a really good chance late on, which he sort of squandered.
On the other side of that as well, I think Sanchez could probably have had a penalty at one point.
Well, Man City could have had a penalty. But the one moment, though, which was the kind of the Arsenal that are often criticised for being a bit soft, for maybe not going full-blooded into a challenge, and all that, so it was actually the Man City goal. When Aguero took that extra touch, I thought to myself, right, pounce on that, Cech. And he waited, and I thought, for crying out loud.
Well, that was the thing, and that's the key. I mean, I wonder if Peter Cech have maybe... 5 years ago, he comes out a little bit more assertively there, because you're absolutely right. The breakaway happens. Aguero is essentially in on goal, and he takes that really heavy touch. You think, well, that's your moment.
I think
a goalkeeper like, I'm not saying this to have a pop at Arsenal because he's a Spurs goal, but a goalkeeper like Hugo Lloris, straight on that.
But do you not think,
as we saw in the other semi-final, Hugo Lloris doesn't care if he's in the area or not.
What a skill!
Yeah. Do you not think that Petr Cech, he's obviously getting on in years, and he's obviously this massively feathered goalkeeper. He knows exactly what to do, and maybe he just thinks, look, chances are I'm going to mess it up. This is what experience has taught me. 9 times out of 10, this goes badly.
But this is your experience.
So this is my. Him showing his experience, not coming out for the ball.
Don't speak your negativity over a professional athlete.
Astounding
all right?
logic.
Pete's idea of experience as a professional athlete. Yeah.
9 times out of 10,
this goes wrong.
Exactly.
Accept failure.
Yeah, that's like the Nike ads of just do it.
Peter.
Except failure.
Peter, tick. Will he score? No. Yes.
I love that, Pete. I love the idea that anything is going to be a failure ultimately anyway. So why?
That seemed to be what Kevin De Bruyne was doing, to be honest.
With that
logic. Why didn't Cech just stand aside and let him roll
no,
it into
the If I was Peter Cech, what I'd have done, as soon as it was kickoff, I'd have legged it out of the centre circle, grabbed the ball, kicked it in my own net, and done that over and over again.
That saves time.
Yeah. Sometimes you wonder why they bother playing at all.
Yeah.
Just wind the sport up.
Peter Cech, just, you imagine not, you're at the game and you hear the goalkeeper shout and just Peter Cech going, let's beat the traffic!
Let's go home.
Sure, bug it in the net.
He's only down Wembley Way. Yeah. See you later.
Well, going back to sort of something approaching the real world for a second.
Outrageous.
Pete does live in the real world.
Yeah. All right.
Just about.
Arsenal won more tackles and more aerial duels than Man City, which for me, that really surprised me, because you don't expect that from an Arsenal.
That stat backs up what everyone has been saying. They dug in. They did the sort of
hard yards.
The hard yards and the unglamorous
stuff.
The doggies.
I wonder if Man City will, I think clearly they will strengthen in the summer. And I wonder if you don't want to be too knee jerk after a bad result, because they obviously are a good team. But I think Guardiola feels like they're quite a bit short of where he wants them to be.
Yeah,
I wonder if they've got like a real, they're short of a real dominant centre of the pitch midfield player, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, they've got attacking players who can win games for them.
Yeah.
But if you think of the players, at the base of midfield for the two teams at the top, Chelsea and Spurs, they're better players than
think of the players he had in previous clubs. I mean, Busquets coming through, Xabi Alonso.
Of course, but it's a different, I completely agree with that, but it's a different type of challenge for Guardiola. Like, people who compare that to now, I think it's completely erroneous, because he was at Barcelona, and along with Real Madrid, they're head and shoulders in terms of budget and revenue and players and tradition and size of club, head and shoulders. Bayern Munich stand apart, really. Premier League, you don't really have that.
No.
Leicester won last year, we all know that, but there are a handful of teams, and possibly more, who can at least challenge for the title.
Mm.
You don't really have that where he was before. So he's got a lot of work to do, but I just think in that base of midfield particularly, I think he really wants someone. Busquets would
be
fantastic.
You're right. I mean, he's tried Yaya Toure, who actually didn't have a bad game.
No, he didn't, but he's not getting any younger, is
but
he?
You're absolutely right. And it was a great win for Arsenal, and they're in the final. And might I remind everybody that, of course, the final, the FA Cup final day is on the 27th of May. We have a live show that evening.
Yeah.
And Arsenal fans, will we be celebrating with you?
Or commiserating?
Or will we be commiserating? Because you're
will I turn up?
Yeah, exactly.
Either way, Jim will be drunk.
Because they're playing Chelsea in the final. And we'll be celebrating with the Chelsea fans, Jim.
Ooh,
because they had a great win against Tottenham Hotspur. And both semi-finals were brilliant, by the way.
They were really good.
They're really great. Two sort of slightly different affairs, of course. Jermaine Genus and Alan Shearer had a bit of a ding-dong. Genus thought
like
Spurs were
that.
The better side. Ooh. And Shearer thought very much that Chelsea were the better side.
That's what that's for, though.
I'm not saying it was a good thing, but for me personally, just Chelsea's quality came through in the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah, bring on Hazard, bring on Costa.
And Spurs brought on George, Kevin, and Kudu, didn't they? Which is
a decent player, but it tells its own story.
But on that ding dong they had, I know which one you're referring to. And by the way, I completely agree with you. I mean, along with a game we're probably going to talk about a bit later, this was one of the games of the season. Fantastic. The best semi final I've seen in years.
Mm, it was great.
I don't mind them having a row about that, because I sort of know what both of them mean.
Yeah, I do as well.
You could argue, I was thinking about this on the way over, you could argue that Spurs dominated for about 70 minutes of the game, but they conceded four goals.
But the thing is, when you say they dominated, you're right, they dominated possession, and as Big Sam said, it was all very well possession, blah, 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 what do you do with it? But there are many ways to skin a cat,
Of course.
And
are there?
I know at least two.
How many cats have you skinned?
One with a knife.
Come on.
One with an axe.
An axe again. Always with the axe.
Always with the axes.
What do you mean always? That's only the second time I've said
it's
that.
It's such an uncultured.
That's two more than any of us.
Just for those who've just started to tune in very recently, Marcus once talked about an axe and an orphanage.
Yeah.
Remember?
I don't remember that.
Nah. Venga. You're not running for office now. That's fine.
I can't remember that.
Terrible.
I think you're being ridiculous. But yes, there's many ways to win a football match.
I agree.
Many ways to axe a cat.
There's many ways to axe a football match.
You can't win a football match with an axe.
Well,
no, not even if you're Roy
Keane.
You
ever played north of the border, or something. But what I was going to say is that the Spurs, yes, they dominated possession, absolutely, but they never looked like getting through Chelsea's back line, really.
Hmm.
And
Well, they literally did a couple times.
But when I'm talking about in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Spurs scored two beautiful goals.
What a header from Kane.
It was a superb header. And Eriksen's ball into Ali was beautifully finished off.
Absolutely beautiful.
But then if we're talking about great goals, Matic certainly put the game to bed with that one, didn't he?
That's the thing, isn't it? And I think Spurs probably fell down on the little details. I mean, the mistake that was made. Yeah. I don't really know if Aldevar needed to bring down Pedro. I think Dier was probably covering.
Yeah.
And then Lloris, you know, really made a bit of an error by his own lofty standards for the free kick itself. Mm. Yeah, and just on the Son thing, it's fascinating how important Danny Rose has been to Spurs and how he's probably a bit of an underrated player. Because in that system, the fullbacks are very important.
Oh, yeah, hugely.
Even when they play the wingbacks, I mean, Rose is, you know, one of the best in the league. And they've lost twice to Chelsea. And both games they lost to Chelsea this season, Victor Moses had a brilliant game. Mm. And both games, Danny Rose hasn't been playing.
Mm.
And the goal that the pivotal goal that Moses scored in the second half against Spurs in the league, Moses popped up at the back stick, and Kevin Vinn was nowhere, and Moses was able to score. Clearly, the game, the pivotal moment in the semi final, Son put that ill-advised challenge in and brought the player down, and there was a penalty. The game that they beat Chelsea, Danny Rose was playing, and he played brilliantly, and they won. So he's a really important player for them, and I think they missed him quite badly. But I do think, though, up until the point, just to back up what you were saying, Marcus, up until Hazard scored, which, I mean, you couldn't even argue. I mean, maybe they could have got out to him a bit quicker, but he's a great player, and he'd just come off the bench. He's obviously very fresh on what is a very difficult game and very hard-fought game. They could have got out to Hazard a bit quicker, but other than that, I mean, they looked like the only team was going to win it at that point.
Yeah, and I think, and that leads on to what I was going to say, that Pochettino looked absolutely gutted when the third killed Spurs for me, and then the fourth obviously put it beyond doubt.
That was just one of those goals. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
But the way Pochettino, he almost looked like he was holding in quite raw emotion,
which you don't see very often.
And I think it was because of that, Luke. I think it was because this was, people talked about the psychological impact of this result. If Spurs could win it, Spurs and Chelsea, Spurs as they did. Last, you know, there was a bit of a ding-dong battle, of course, last season, at the end of last season. And I think Pochettino looks at Chelsea, because they're the leaders and have been for a long time in the league, and goes, right, that's the team we've got to match up against. That's the team we've got to test ourselves if we want to be the best in the land. And he got it nearly right. They went toe-to-toe, they matched them, da-da-da-da, and then they just come out short. And I think he was so gutted, he was just like, I cannot believe.
Well, you don't want to get into a habit as a manager, as a top team, you don't want to get in the habit of playing bloody well and losing.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
I saw someone write about it in the newspaper today. I can't remember who it was. You talk about teams who play badly and win, and that's the sign of a great team. You don't want to be a team. I mean, Spurs have got a bit of that about them, playing really well, but when it really matters, and it's early in the Pochettino career and Pochettino cycle, I guess, but you don't want to get into the habit of playing well and not winning. And one thing that is great, actually, is what we're seeing here is a bit of a development of one of these classic Premier League rivalries between Chelsea and Spurs.
Yeah.
Now, if Spurs could go on and win the title, say, next season, perhaps, there'll be and Chelsea win it this season, there'll be a real rivalry, like a Man United Arsenal type rivalry.
Yeah.
Both big clubs. You know, it could really sort of roll, snowball.
I don't buy the, if they had won that match, they could have gone on to win the title over Chelsea. I don't see those two disciplines be different. You've got to play different teams and stuff like
that.
I just don't. I think the emotions of playing at a place where you've had your arses handed to you pretty much week in, week out in the Champions League, and also the fact that they had those players coming off the bench. Emotionally, that's like, oh, for crying out loud.
100%.
You know, we're matching them, we're doing all right, and now this happens.
Oh, it's the best player in the league.
Look who hasn't played because people like Pedro have been in great form, Hazard's been in great form. William starts again, scores two goals.
I mean, and
the killer for Spurs would be that Spurs came quite close to signing him as well, but he went to Chelsea instead. So I completely agree. That's the difference. And I one thing I would just add to what Pete said about the whole whether that affects the league. You know what's going to happen. The team who wins that game in the semi-final is going to say, this is massive for us. And the team who loses are going to say, it doesn't make any difference. But the reality is, we are in a title race, as I said to you guys 100%, 100 times before. But Chelsea have got a much easier running. The hardest game they've got is at Goodison Park, and they've got pretty winnable games other than that.
Mm. I was interested in Conte's decision to rest not just Hazard, but Diego Costa. And I wonder if he actually effectively sort of dropped Costa, but had sort of Hazard there as a smokescreen of it as well, so he could do it without inviting any pressure on, because he's not been playing well.
Do you know what's curious about that, though? When they won the penalty, Bashuay wanted it. He hasn't scored. Has he scored at all for Chelsea?
I think he might have got one or two.
Let's settle on the fact that he hasn't been a rip-roaring success in terms of goal scoring, right? He really wanted that penalty. And you see Conte screaming at him, saying, Willian, Willian, Willian.
Wow.
So obviously, for some reason, he doesn't particularly have a huge amount of confidence in him.
Well, no, I think...
Penalties are a different discipline, though, aren't they?
I know what you mean, but I think they would have probably talked about who would have the penalty... Perhaps before, you know, the manager would certainly think, right, I've got three potential takers on the field. Mm. And if a player who isn't one of those players comes up and takes the ball, it's like, hang on a minute. It's like when Chelsea was it the last day of the season, I think, they needed to win? When they were perhaps going for the title or maybe in Europe, I forget, forgive me. And Drogba wanted the penalty. And Lampard said, no, I'm the penalty taker. Yeah. And there was a bit of an argument.
Oh,
and Lampard
took
the penalty.
That.
I can't remember what the stakes were, but they were high. And... Lampard scored the result penalty, but then poor old Steve McLaren, when he was managing in Germany, he had his penalty taker designated, and Diego stepped up and grabbed it off and hit the bar. Yeah. And it was a game they really needed to win.
Another great example of that, you guys will remember this surely, is the amazing sequence of events where Brentford had a penalty to last minute to get promoted. And the lone player took the ball.
Watford was a totally different one.
Lone player took the ball.
Yeah, that's right.
And the great thing about, well, not the great thing if you're a Brentford fan, is all he had to do, right, it was the final minute. All he had to do was essentially boot the ball in the crowd. And then had been promoted. He hit the bar, and then went up the other end and scored.
That's right.
He just don't give it to the keeper and don't hit the bar. And the lone player wasn't even supposed to be taking the
promoted
penalty.
Or was it to get in the playoffs?
One of the two. It was a huge game. Anyway, it happens. But just going back to that game, someone has made a really good observation as well on the in the newspapers today about the Spurs situation, saying that Christian Eriksen is so important for Spurs, the way he dictates their play and he sort of calls the tune. He's almost like a Luka Modric type player in terms of how he can call the pace of the game.
Yeah.
Apparently, I didn't notice this myself, but someone was saying that he lost his head about half hour to go, didn't get a decision, was berating the referee, and he looked a bit out of sorts since then. And for the rest of the game, and that was when it started to come unravel for Spurs, basically.
Yeah, but
I think it might have been about 20 minutes to go.
It would make sense because they weren't getting through, but there we are. Anyway,
what a
game it was. Jimmy, you were going to say something?
I was just going to talk about that mad Courtois save, where it sort of rolled just sort of on the line and then rolled back towards it. Chelsea used to be sponsored by Emirates. Is it a remote control ball?
Could be.
My goodness. Well, we'll discuss that in the break, perhaps. Otherwise, we might get sued. We'll be back in just a second.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
And now it's time for some emails with Pete Donaldson.
It is time for some emails with Pete Donaldson. Get ready, strap yourself in, take your clothes off, do whatever it takes for you to be comfortable.
Take my clothes off after I've strapped myself in. How's that going to work?
Well, just make sure you've got loose clothing.
You've been on an aeroplane before, haven't you?
I'll take them off first if you don't mind.
You know, Pete's clothes just come off very easily.
Do you only wear boiler suits? Top and half.
All your clothes are Velcro. Right. I've seen them.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to.
Fire away, Peter.
Like a status quo tour for your clothes.
Simon Adams. He's gone for like a highlight of the week, but I presume, Luke, you haven't spotted this one. He says, not so much a highlight as a holy flip. How is that true?
Okay.
Cristiano Ronaldo could go on a 412-game scoring drought and still have a better goal record for Real Madrid than club legend Raul.
I saw that. I did see that in the highlights, but I've heard that before.
Isn't that fantastic?
It's absolutely crazy, given how much of a fanfare was made about Raul, and he was a great player, and how much it was made of his goal scoring and how good he was. Mm. And Ronaldo and Messi, obviously, for a different club, have come and I've blown that to bits.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's taken like the average so far away from everything else. It's going to take something to beat
him. It's got much like pre-war levels of goal scoring.
Right, so strap yourselves in once again for some tips.
Okay.
Some footballers leaving tips, obviously.
So, Paul Gascoigne gave a £50 tip, and Sven Göran Eriksson gave a £30 tip, I think.
Paul Gascoigne's was in the early 90s as well.
It's true.
Do you want a cheeky...
Let's talk inflation.
Do you want a cheeky Paul Gascoigne one?
Okay.
This is from Mark. From the Toon, of course. I grew up in Seaham, a little ex-mining village south of Sunderland.
Where your dad's from?
That's where my dad's from.
Yeah.
When Gazza used to play for Middlesbrough, he inexplicably lived in Seaham, in the only massive house in town. He would often frequent the Chinese takeaway Sam's Chop Suey House, and when inevitably asked for his autograph, would pull out a crisp £20 note and sign his name on that and hand it over.
Wow.
It must have cost him hundreds of pounds each day, because he did it every time.
And you can't spend it.
I know. It's illegal, isn't it? You can't draw on a
That's right.
Well, I mean, it's just a bit of a conundrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
Paul Gascoigne's signature here, autograph here, which probably in some market is worth more than 20 quid, but I've also got a £20 note. Yeah.
Who was the artist? Who was the artist who used to draw little self-portraits on the back of a cheque, which meant that when he paid in a restaurant, he would write a cheque out and he would draw his draw a little picture on the back
so that nobody would cash it.
Very smart. I wonder how many Gazzas were in circulation.
Yeah.
Very true.
Didn't Banksy change a decent amount of money of £10 notes to Princess Diana?
Yes.
Instead of the Queen on it, Princess Diana, and put them in circulation.
They're actually quite affordable art pieces.
I thought they were just in general circulation.
I think people have kind of taken them back out of circulation because they're obviously more valuable than tenor.
You are happy to spend £37 on a pencil, so are they?
Yeah.
It's £32, but inflation again.
I haven't had my ink yet.
Brexit, that'll go up. Is Paul Gascoigne Banksy?
We just don't know. He's about as aloof, you'd say. Yeah. Also, we raked through his bins one day and found a lovely automatic golf ball dispenser that I only recently got rid of at a car boot.
Amazing. I don't agree with that.
Nice. What?
I don't agree with
don't
that.
Don't go through footballers' bins, for crying out loud. Tom says, your recent talk of tipping footballers has reminded me of an encounter I had while working on a VIP bar backstage at the Wireless Festival a few years ago. To give you an idea of quite how VIP the bar was, other celebrities spotted included Pixie Lott, the drum and bass duo or Sigma, some girls from Geordie Shore, and one Pete Donaldson. Bottom line is Carlton Palmer tipped Tom £8.
£8, not £8.
That'll do.
Get it on the list. This is Alex, not a footballer, but I used to work at the bar at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. A colleague of mine served famous and successful comedian Jim Campbell, who didn't tip anything.
Jim probably tried a bar and get the prize.
People don't tip at a bar, do
they? I think that's out of order.
Yeah, people do sometimes.
Reginald, genuinely annoyed. Reginald D. Hunter tipped £9.
Oh, there you go.
Carl Palmer gave David Thompson £10 after David's manager had told Carlton expressly not to tip him.
Palmer's tipping everyone.
Yeah, he's loving it.
He's bankrupted himself.
He's loving it. Spurs fan Matt served Sami Nasri in a London dim sum restaurant chain. Clearly ping pong, isn't it? £25. Very nice.
Ooh, not bad.
That's not too bad, is it? Here's a nice story about a couple of characters we don't normally sort of put in the best light. But Carl says, if you've read Harry Redknapp's book, you might be familiar with this story, but I thought many listeners may not have heard it, so I thought I'd write in to see if it could get some airtime. Here's the quick version. It involved Ken Bates.
Yeah.
Ex-Chelsea and his chairman. So in 1980, Harry Redknapp was involved in a car crash in Italy, sadly, which ex-AFC Bournemouth chairman Brian Tiller died. Or Tyler, indeed. Sometime after this, a charity event was held with proceeds going to his wife and daughter. As Harry tells it, him and Ken Bates had a particularly frosty past before this, but lo and behold, Ken Bates arrived at the charity event and very quietly, with no fuss, said that he would top every bid in the auction. So later on, when it came time to pay, he was invoiced the total a short time after a cheque arrived for double the amount he had been invoiced. As far as I'm aware, Ken and Brian were not close friends, so this shows a true act of selflessness and generosity from a man who certainly splits opinion. That's a nice story, isn't it?
Yeah,
that is. I could give you a story about Ken Bates, which is the opposite to that.
All right, well, not for now.
Fair
enough.
I'm sure we've all got one.
Yeah. We've got some rapid fire ones to finish us off. Jamie Westbury's sister says Nobby Solano would frequently leave £100 tips.
Whoa! No way!
£100!
Need details.
And he would also hand out bottles of champagne to people as well.
Would he play the trumpet?
Shola Amiobi once asked her out via his mate because he was too shy.
Oh,
that's nice, isn't it? Paul Hazel attended a Man United coaching staff party. He saw Mike Phelan rock up with a fluffy dressing gown and pimp stick, and he started a conga. Paul then inadvertently farted on his hero. Paul scores in the lose.
Come on.
Have you ever passed wind near a footballer?
This is getting salacious.
Get involved. Liam from Liverpool helped Berbatov move into Kevin Nolan's old house. £170 tip.
Was Andy Carroll in there?
Wow.
£170 tip, Marcus.
Yeah.
Will you listen to the words I'm saying? £170.
You want me to listen to your words,
Pete,
right?
That's nothing to a man of Marcus's means.
I know.
Up north, though, mate. That's a lot of money to them.
I just said you can buy a house up there.
Yeah.
That's not very nice. That is an incredible tip. Well done. And I just wonder if Andy Carroll's still there.
Khalid Winter, Rooney, £100, and that's about it for me.
That's just a name and a number. Oh. I need the detail.
I don't have time to read out the whole. I don't have time to read out the whole email because they're too long. So I thought I'd cut them down a little bit.
Fair enough.
So you want to get involved? Show at thefootballramble.com. Yeah.
The yes. Premier League happens alongside the FA Cup sometimes, and there were some important games down the bottom. Hull City with a fantastic win against Watford.
So Harry Redknapp there, it was great.
Did
down
I?
The bottom.
Down the bottom, hey. Down
the bottom. I mean, given they had one of the worst refereeing decisions to go against them all season, with that Nias sending off.
Oh, yeah.
And they still managed to rally, and they're so good at home, Hull.
His reaction, very understandable, was just...
I cannot believe this is happening.
Yeah, he was like, are you sure? Look at the card. Yeah. Look at the colour of that card you've put up. That's not the right one.
You're not going red, are you? You are going red.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I had to get on match of the day markers, but why aren't we leading with West Ham Everton? I mean, I just, you know.
Well,
seems like a glaring omission.
Yeah, we're climaxing with that. Yeah.
We'll do a separate show for that. That'll be an Acast Plus special.
Troy Deeney was
happy.
Unequivocal.
Yeah, happy.
Yeah, goodness, yeah. Like, oh,
I loved it.
Seldom do you get a player saying something like that, but almost
of honesty.
Yeah, almost sort of saying that's not good enough for the fans who've travelled a long way. Mm. Some of those Watford fans, I'm sure, will appreciate those comments. I'm not sure all of them.
I think those fans will be having a lovely time. Hull's a European city of culture. A great day out.
Was it named European City?
I think it was going for it. I think it has been.
Okay, it was nominated.
You're at the risk of the.
I think you're taking the piss.
I think you're at the risk of the wrath of all the people, the good people of Hull.
I've been to Hull. Have you?
I haven't.
No,
I plan to visit because of European city of culture.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm talking about the length of the journey because Watford to Hull's a bit of a journey.
Yeah,
and actually. We're talking about Watford's poor performance, really. But what a win for Hull. I mean, going down to 10 men. Now, we said last week that it's a good time to play Watford because they've effectively...
They're tenth.
They couldn't be more tenth. No, they've got 40.
A very tenny team.
They've got 40 points, exactly.
Yeah, right.
They're tenth.
There we are.
They're like, come at us, bro.
And there are...
trying in these games.
There are more than three teams in the league that will not reach 40 points this season.
Sorry, Marco Silva, we tried for the other 30-odd games, so we don't have to try for this one now. Take a leaf out of our book, mate. That's what they're saying.
But rack them up earlier. You can have this bit off.
Yeah.
What a goal from Klukas, eh?
Tiny
little deflection, but it didn't matter.
He's had a good season.
He's had a great season, yeah. Markovic with a nice one as well.
I just love Silva's enthusiasm.
Oh, man.
Just so fired up. It's great. Because he goes from sort of like, I don't know, like calm to hurricane very quickly.
Who's that, Silva?
Silva, yeah. There seems to be no in between.
He's a decent manager already, but he's got a hell of a future.
He's not going to want for a club if he doesn't stay at Hull if they get relegated. I don't know what the arrangement is. I think he's only got a deal to the end of the season. But if they go down, he may move on. But I don't think he'll struggle for a club.
Well, if he can keep them up, you know, he's done well in other leagues on the continent. I think he won the Greek league, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then, now this is a totally different style of managing because didn't they lose only one game? Stupid all season or whatever it was, and totally different style of managing. He's doing very well. It's not over yet. There's still games to play. But they are still in pole position. They have their destiny in their own hands.
But the thing about it is, though, that I sort of quite want both of them teams to stay up. I think Paul Clement's got the makings of being a good manager. I think he was harshly treated at Derby. I think he's found it tough to step out of that shadow as a number two, and he's doing all right. Mm. I like Marcus Silva, and I like him doing well because, because I quite like watching Hull at home, and also I think that Silva was written off by idiot pundits in the UK, and I want him to prove them wrong. So if they can fix it for me for sort of maybe I don't really want Burnley to go down either or Leicester, so yeah,
I've got to pick one.
What if Spurs got dragged in? That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I won't lie to you.
Southampton, Luke,
that would be a surprise.
Yeah,
Southampton done.
Yeah. Can I tempt you in the Saints?
What are Southampton contributing to the league? I mean, they're ninth.
Who
cares? Do we need him in there?
I mean, they have been. True. They've been in the league.
But it would have been a killer for Hull to see that Swansea also won. You know what I mean? Because you think that's a massive win. Sooner or later, we're going to get a few points between us.
I know what you mean. But both sides, they were would have been earmarked for wins. So actually, I think Hull, the fact that they went down to 10 men and harshly, I think they'll be relieved
after
with
about
the win.
20 minutes as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Oh. So I think they'll be relieved with the win, and I think. Swansea will be very pleased with their day's work against Stoke City because Stoke are a better opponent than Watford, you would say, certainly on current form.
But can I just, speaking of sort of sendings off early on in games, can we have a special mention of Gaston Ramirez?
Oh, God.
Possibly the most
straightened player.
Yeah, right.
The most Gaston Ramirez thing to do. I don't know if you guys saw this, and for those who are listening didn't see it, basically Middlesbrough completely chucked in their chance of staying up by getting battered by Bournemouth because Gaston Ramirez, their playmaker, got sent off for two yellows after 20 minutes. The first one for diving. The second one.
No one dives like Gaston. No one.
The second one for booting someone on about the halfway line for no reason for a second yellow.
That was class.
20 minutes in.
He had somewhere to be.
They're already about 3-0 down at the
time. He was meeting Peter Cech somewhere later.
I missed my chance for this over Christmas. I'm having a break now.
Your Inter got a timely one for Swansea, didn't they, Jess?
He did.
My goodness,
sixth header of the season. So, is he the coolest player in the league?
Oh, yeah, you love a header, don't you, Jim?
They are cool.
Palace, they're staying. Big Sam.
They're not going anywhere.
He's only gone and done it again.
First defeat in 8 for Liverpool, and Sam did it.
Third game at Anfield in a row that Palace have won, or something like that. Is that right?
They definitely had a good win there 2 seasons ago. I think it was 2 seasons ago, because I remember it. I remember someone scoring a header to win it.
A header.
Cool header.
Jim will remember. He loves the headers. The only man who would have enjoyed that more than Big Sam was, of course, Christian Benteke.
Oh, God.
Even though he didn't celebrate. He sort of went to, but he didn't apologise, which we don't like to see, but then he did that little handshake with Sacco, who's technically a Liverpool player.
that was odd, because the footage of that was in slow motion, wasn't it? And it just looked so intense. But they were both making a real point of not showing any emotion on their faces, yet they were doing that absurd, like, sort of hand gesture. Weird.
Some Newcastle.
It looked like they were trying to work out the nuclear launch codes or something, didn't it? Pretty serious.
Football in one hand, causing the other. There was a Newcastle fan on Twitter who went, I'm not being funny, but you can't really complain when there was a loan player, on loan from Newcastle. He came and scored against Newcastle and did a backflip.
Yeah, he did. I remember it.
Oh, well, yeah.
It was support. You know, the thing about the Sacco thing, I mean, he's been a great player for Crystal Palace. Clearly, Klopp doesn't want him. He's not part of the plans.
I'm struggling to see what the problem is. Yeah,
they couldn't sell him, so they put him out on loan to someone. They've clearly not put a clause in there to say that he can't. Did they put a clause in there to say he can't play?
Yeah, he didn't play.
So they did. Fair enough.
But people have learned from Luala situation.
He's clearly surplus to requirements there. So he's pals with Benteke. I mean, get over it.
People
got fair in love and war, and football is war.
Correct.
At this time of the season, football is war.
As well, like you would question
war end.
Yeah, you would question someone's professional attitude. If he's gone to Crystal Palace, even if it's on loan, to do a job, to keep them up, and he's been a huge part of that, you then say, all right, but you have to keep your emotion in check there, and you have to do that. No, it's, as you say, you've loaned him out. All right, you live by the loan, you die by the loan.
Exactly.
It's worth pointing out as well that some of the wins that Palace have had have been over Chelsea, Arsenal and Liverpool. That is how you stay up.
Well, I think... future England manager Big Sam has done a magnificent job there.
But Liverpool struggling those games against teams they're fans.
Yeah, they do.
It's crazy they lose at home to Palace again.
Allardyce did say about Benteke. He said, if I could have had a bet on him, I'd have had a bet on him scoring today, but sadly I couldn't. I thought, Sam!
Sam, mate!
Come on!
So instead I got my mum to... Shut up, Sam! Sam, no!
You're not going to get back on the throne.
Just about 5 seconds and just put a napkin on his head. Benteke's got a great
Sammy's
score.
In trouble.
Benteke's got a great scoring record against Liverpool, though.
He does, yeah.
Which I think might be part of the reason they signed him in the first place.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Just to help the defence in a strange way.
Yeah. Big Sam has done it again, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen.
I think this could be absolute nonsense, but I'm putting it out there because it's this kind of show. I think he might have scored as many goals at Anfield for other teams as he did for Liverpool.
Oh, wow.
That'd be a lovely start.
I might have made that up.
Yeah.
It sounds like it would be about right.
It's like Carragher's own goals record, isn't it?
Yeah, but that is true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You didn't ask him about that, did you?
I did, but didn't make the final edit.
That's my... Because he had you in a headlock.
My personal collection, yeah. Just me grunting.
Well, who are going to join Crystal Palace and co in the Prem next season?
Apparently,
Peter.
It's Newcastle, Peter.
We go to the Championship.
We're up. You might have noticed in the first 5 minutes of the show, I was a little distracted.
Yes.
So I was watching Newcastle beat Preston North End 4-1. So
well done,
Newcastle.
The handball. That's sending off.
That was an amazing save. From the Preston North End defender.
You see that happen sometimes when a player it's purely instinctual and they realise afterwards the gravity of what they've done, because he just fell to the floor and just stayed there.
Could he not have chested it though? His hands were quite tight to his body.
No, it was a full-length
double-handed save.
Sorry, the wrong angle.
Lloris as well with the you know, the ball being outside the box. There's been a lot, yes, been a lot of that win.
Pete, who was the Newcastle defender that time? Who handled
Stephen
the ball?
Stephen Taylor.
Yeah,
pretended,
yeah,
pretended he'd been
that
shot.
That's fantastic. That's the sort of stuff you expect in the Premier League.
He's not a clever man.
He was holding his side.
That's
like
right,
he'd been,
yeah,
stabbed or something.
But that's what Newcastle brings to the Premier League.
Oh, they bring an awful lot to the Premier League. I mean, look.
Calamitous happenings.
You know, if Redknapp can keep his job and Newcastle are back in the Prem, we are back in business.
If Redknapp stays at Birmingham in the Championship next season, I'm going to buy the rights to the Championship on my own.
Well, yeah, Newcastle are up, but they're not going to have any kind of parade, are they? Because Rafa Benitez says they shouldn't.
Well, yeah, they should. They shouldn't be in the Premier League. But I think a lot of North East teams should be in the Premier League. But it's a terrible place at the moment.
He's talking about the bus parade for being promoted. Didn't Roy Keane famously cancel the Sunderland one?
I wonder about this because it's an acknowledgement of the achievement of that season and the work the players have put in.
You can't win the Premier League when you're in the Championship.
Exactly. Yeah, it's completely fair enough.
I think if you get the title and you've got the bit of silverware, I don't think it's. I think that's kind of fair, but still.
I sort of take the point, but it is nice to acknowledge at least what some clubs may consider a little victory.
I think it's a bit conceited to make a big show of, we're not doing one. Don't do one then. Just don't make a big deal out of it. When Portsmouth won the FA Cup, there was an open top parade in Portsmouth and 40 million people were there.
you're still parading it,
which
aren't
is
you?
Roughly how many we take to an away game in League 2.
But of course, in the Birmingham derby, Aston Villa beat Redknapp's Birmingham City 1-0. Agbon Lahore with the guy's first goal since February 2016.
I haven't seen him move like that in a decade.
He enjoyed it, didn't he?
He did. Well, Redknapp said of Agbon Lahore, of course, so we've seen this. He's done well today. He's had his 10 minutes. That'll keep him happy for another year, won't it? Fantastic.
That's amazing.
Amazing. Wow. Redknapp, he's got the winner in a Birmingham derby. Yeah. He may have been rather unprofessional in recent years, but you can't take that away.
Did you see what...
They're having a good go.
You know, we talk about people, like football people who are good on Twitter. One who goes underrated is the great Dr. Tony Jarre.
I did mention one of his tweets, I think, last week.
He did a great one after
the derby. Yeah, he would have done, yeah.
He said... imagine what Gabby would be like if he was in training early every day.
He's constantly having a pop at Gabby, though. He's really picking him. Yeah. He's isolated one player. He's gone, fatty.
Helpful. Didn't he say about him before? Oh, yeah, I'm just trying to be like an older brother to him. What, by hammering him?
Grealish, wasn't it?
I think you're right. And also, before you move on... We're not moving on from this for a bit.
Don't worry.
This isn't Redknapp related, but... I'm not sure if you guys saw it, but when Agbon Lahore scored, did you see Paul Robinson kick James Chester?
Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? I think he punched him and then kicked him.
Yeah, so what happened was, the ball came over, there was obviously like a bit of a tussle in the box, and Paul Robinson, 38-year-old player, coach
with those
Paul Robinson,
thighs.
I can't believe he's still playing. He had James Chester, and it was a bit of a tussle. And when Agbon Lahore headed the ball in, Paul Robinson couldn't do anything about it. So, like, as Pete said, he swings for James Chester. And when James Chester tries to run off to celebrate with Gary Agbon Lahore, he just boots him up in the air. James Chester's up on the floor, can't be part of the celebration.
Chester sort of looks around and goes, how is this allowed?
That's a red card.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's not. It's a different phase of play. I don't know. My goodness. Old Redders... had a funny sort of rant about Villa and a sort of a dig, if you like, at Steve Bruce saying...
Are they not pals then? I thought they were pals.
He said about Villa, he said a few things and then said, we've seen some fantastic teams here over the years, but Steve has got a lot of work to do if that's the best they can do.
They won. They won the match.
They won and kept a clean sheet. Okay, fair enough. Villa are not in great shakes at the moment. That's painfully obvious.
And nor Birmingham.
Well, I was going to say, he's deflecting it all, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, Redknapp then secured his position by saying Birmingham didn't deserve to lose the game, reminded us all that Birmingham have only won 2 out of 24 and assured everyone that they'd worked hard on training ground all week and his job had been done, you know.
I love the idea that they've only won 2 out of 24. It was 2 out of 23 before you coming on, big boy.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. Well, it was revealed that Redknapp will get £250,000 for keeping Birmingham City up. Although, according to Redknapp, about that sum of money for managing 3 matches and finishing above the drop zone, he said, it's not that nice. And then he confirmed that it's not a money deal for him.
Well, it is.
What's nice?
But the thing is, right,
for a few weeks' work.
Sorry, Harry, not a money. It literally is a money deal.
It's a £250,000 worth.
Oh, have you seen what they're earning in China? Have a go at them.
But what I don't understand is, like, Harry, like, no one's going to have a go at you. You provide a service, you get paid for it, it's fine. Yeah. Like, why deny that?
He doesn't have a contract, though, does he?
Oh, right.
Imagine if he kept him up, they just didn't pay him.
Amazing.
That would be quite
That's what they're saying. They might, that's what he's saying. He said that. He said, if I don't keep them up, I don't want paying.
No, but if they kept... If he kept them
no,
up.
No, no, if he...
No, you've got to track them down.
That would be even funnier.
Yeah, fine, yeah.
I can't imagine him, like, not having a contract over this £250,000.
Yeah, well, speaking of Redknapp and you know, if you like, the philosophical children of Redknapp. Did you see Pardew and Sherwood on Goals on Sunday?
Oh, my goodness.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Don't ask me anything they said. I can't remember.
You just look at the telly going, oh.
General Cockney noises. But
did they agree on an awful lot?
The highlight, the thing was, and someone else pointed this out,
men.
I don't think Pardew likes Sherwood.
Who's that
I
right?
think even Pardew thinks he's a bit of a dick.
Yeah, Pardew, they occupy the same space, don't they? So Pardew would find that annoying.
But at least, Pardew has, I mean, okay.
Well, this is it. I think Pardew was in his head thinking, well, yeah, all right, mate, but I've actually done stuff.
Yeah, I
finished fifth with Newcastle. You know, yeah, you haven't done anything.
To be fair, he has got a much longer and
an FA Cup final. Nearly, you know.
But Sherwood on that show was talking about Swindon Town, was amazing. I think it was on that show. I don't think it was a different interview. I'm trying to think why he would be giving a different interview. I'm pretty sure it was on that show when he's asked about Swindon, and they've just been relegated to Swindon, right? He's basically overseen them being relegated. He started off with this weird story where he started blaming the Swindon Borough Council, and then he ended
for not financing it.
Then he ended the story by saying,
"Load of mugs."
Yeah, it wasn't a proper job anyway.
No,
so,
wasn't a proper job.
It's like he thought. Potential employers could be watching this, but I wasn't really there in official capacity.
Well, essentially, this one doesn't really count.
Yeah,
this is not my relegation.
It would have been worse if I wasn't there.
It's essentially in microcosm or the other way around what Redknapp's doing at Birmingham. Right,
they all do it, these types.
Yeah, of course
they
do.
That's their thing, isn't
it? These types.
Yeah, that's his thing. It's their thing.
Do you know what I mean? But just to finish on the championship, Leeds out the playoff, it's looking bad for them. But Sheffield Wednesday and Fulham. Playmate, Fulham 4-1 away at Huddersfield. I think that's two penalties back-to-back they've scored in game.
Wow. Fulham have timed it. They've timed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two sides are very much on the up. But they can't catch Newcastle, Peter.
No.
That's all done and dusted.
Up, up, up.
Pete, you must be absolutely bloody delighted.
I am very happy.
Well, I mean, imagine the sort of clothing you're going to wear on the live show. I'm talking to a man, for those of you listening who don't know this, a man who celebrated our Glasgow live show by wearing a half and half Rangers and Celtic shirt, which he stitched together himself while spending the hour before...
Which he cut himself.
Let me finish. Cut himself and stitched together himself. While spending the hour before we went on stage saying, this will be fine, won't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this will be fine. This is definitely going
to
be okay.
To be fair, very impressed with your sewing skills.
I have got a outfit ready.
Oh,
let's see.
All right.
Big. So, more on that soon.
Yeah. Is it your Edward Scissorhands one?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay, great.
It's a unique live show piece of clothing. That I'm going to reveal to the world at the live show. So pick up your tickets for crying out loud.
Hackney Empire is the website and all our social media channels. We'll have that link there for you. We are going to talk about the Scottish Cup after this.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is out this Friday. Our man in the chair, did he not last 2 minutes?
Ed Baker last, I think, just over 90 seconds, which in its own way is a pretty good record.
The thing with that, Ed, is it's not you that's getting pelters on Twitter about that,
No, it's not. Well, he might be as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are giving us pelters on Twitter, take a bit of time, hunt down Ed Baker and direct your ire at him.
Indeed.
A new person in the hot seat this week on Friday, so look out for that.
We do look forward to that. What about the Scottish Cup? That happened. Celtic beat Rangers 2-0. So a good win for
the
Celtic.
They'll be playing
the Dandy Dons in the final.
The treble is on.
They beat the holders Hibs 3-2. Neil Lennon fuming after the game.
He wasn't really happy with the performance, was he?
It was pathetic.
Yeah.
Utterly pathetic were his words.
Did he call them like boy band members or something?
It was a really weird one. He said he mentioned only two of his players showed any responsibility and the rest looked like, and I quote, looked like the boy band they've been over the last 3 or 4 years.
Wow. What?
Scottish boy band, imagine that.
Well, the boy band got them promoted.
It did.
So there we are.
Neil Lennon is definitely head songwriter and Svengali.
Yeah,
of that boy
I would say to him, just stop your crying.
Yeah.
It's a sign of the times,
indeed.
Neil. Where should we go from here? The National League, Lincoln's...
Oh, Harry Styles, I just got that, sorry.
Yeah,
carry on.
Yeah.
Well done.
He said it at the top of the show as well.
Yeah, I know.
He's all about that.
Absolute radio DJ's Pete Donaldson.
Yeah. we don't play any One Direction.
No.
It's not One Direction, it's
Harry Styles. A solo project. Respect the solo project.
Don't play that either, come on.
Listen, you're a national radio DJ, you don't respect a solo project.
I don't respect them, I don't respect Arsenal TV, and more importantly, Luke, I don't respect you.
Arsenal fan TV.
So sticking up your bollocks.
Yeah. It's Arsenal TV, which is also a thing.
It's their only TV, and it's a fan TV.
They've got their own channel, haven't they?
Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah.
What, on digital or something?
All the time. Yeah. No, just on the website.
Oh, you'll be presenting
That's
it
not a TV station. Rubbish.
You'll be presenting it in 5 years, mate. Don't worry about it.
I'll do it now. What money we're talking?
Why don't you do Lincoln City TV? They've been promoted back to the Football League. What a season for the Imps.
Yeah, it looked like they might at one point struggle and they might throw it away, but they didn't. It's been an eventful season for them. But let's get onto the big stuff.
La Liga.
People have been waiting all show for this.
A classic.
What a game. Sergio Ramos' 22nd career red card.
Beautiful.
His 6th in this fixture.
one of the most decorated players of his generation.
With red cards.
Well, yeah, he...
Do you reckon he keeps them like caps?
I reckon he's tiled his fucking kitchen with it.
What a fantastic game it was. I mean, Messi with just about the last kick of the game. That delicious. Match had pretty much everything. It was... there were so many missed chances. Great saves from either end.
Did you see when
it
Ramos...
It was glorious.
When Ramos was walking off, he shouted at Piqué, habla ahora, speak now.
Is that right?
Yeah, getting properly vexed at him.
Well, Piqué had a great chance to score after it, which would have been quite something. But it was a brilliant save. Oh man! But when was it? Sergio Roberto.
Oh, that was
a run.
That was like when the only way I can describe this run was like when you've had a bet on a horse race. Go on, my son. Get up there.
It reminds me of how you once described Michael Essien's running as the Great Migration.
It is like that.
Which of course is now what West Ham did.
Yeah.
It was the way he broke away. You knew something was on the cards. And why didn't Marcelo foul him?
Yeah.
He wasn't on a yellow. Marcelo could have...
Respect for the game, Marcus.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm glad he didn't.
Respect for the narrative.
Yeah, Luis Enrique said of Messi, he is decisive even when he's at home eating his dinner.
He should be choosing Luis Enrique's clothes.
Well,
he can't choose his own.
My goodness, yeah.
He dresses like a reformed boy band member.
Yeah.
You know when boy bands come back after 20 years, they're a stylist.
Yeah.
That's what he looks like.
Take that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit.
They become like a man band.
They have, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Shouldn't still be doing the dance moves.
Shouldn't
that type of thing.
Yeah.
hear about Ronaldo and his girlfriend. They were due to host a party after the match, but he cancelled it, obviously, and then has forbidden any more hosting of parties as he sees it as bad luck, according to a Portuguese tabloid, which we'll definitely go with.
No party, literally no party around Ronaldo's gaff.
Well, not after that. After
he calls himself the Spanish Lee Sharp. The Portuguese Lee Sharp.
Do you want to have another go at that?
Yeah. He plays in Spain, so...
I like the idea of that. Right, I'm not having any parties anymore all season. All right, it's up to you. It's your decision. It's up to you.
Shall we move the party till tomorrow night?
You're not having any either. What do you mean? Imagine if someone said that here. I'm not having parties anymore. You can't have any either.
Indeed.
I really like the fact that... because in terms of the title race, a draw for Real Madrid would have been absolutely fine. Down to 10 men. Draw would be fine. No.
It's great. It's opened it right up.
I'll tell you what, they did really well to get back into it. It was a lovely goal from James Rodriguez.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's nice to see him at all.
It was. Well, we saw him in his car outside the Bernabeu.
We saw him leaving the Bernabeu looking very frustrated by all the Real Madrid fans banging on his car.
It was 2 minutes to kick off, he left. But
the thing about the Rodriguez goal is, if that had been the equaliser and that had been that, I'd be really pleased for him. That almost took a bit of the shine off it for me. Because Zidane keeps saying that, you know, he's part of my plans, I'm not selling him, he's very much a part of the plans, his time will come, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, right, fine. Finally, he's actually made an impact. That's all forgotten about now. No one's going to remember that goal anymore because Messi stepped up and done that.
And you're absolutely right with the draw, because of the head-to-head. It is that one fixture. They just need a swing.
There's 10 men.
I know, and they got back into it so well. It was end-to-end, that game. It was so fast. And the fact is that when they went down to 10 men, only when that breakaway happened, when Barcelona scored at the end, Real Madrid didn't actually look like they were down to 10 men. I think the commentator even said, and this is where it counts when they got the extra man.
It so rarely disappoints, that game. I know we say that every time, but that's because it's so rarely disappoints.
It was a fantastic game. And Madrid have a game in hand. They need to go away to Celta Vigo.
Yeah, and by the way, Barcelona lost there.
Yeah.
They lost 4-3 there.
They've got to go to Celta Vigo and get something.
They're still fighting for this title.
Absolutely.
The game that Barcelona played at Celta Vigo was crazy. And Pique scored two. And Matthew, I'm pretty sure Jeremy Matthew scored an own goal. But it would have been absolutely fine for them just to game manage the game left. Just manage the game the last 10 minutes or whatever. But the great thing about that as well, which needs to be mentioned, that was Lionel Messi's 500th goal. Not 30 yet. He's not 30 yet.
That's just...
500 goals.
We've got a little mention for Rakitic's lovely goal as well.
That was a scream.
But there's still the small matter of going to Granada to play Tony Adams' side.
No one will relish
Tony
that.
Adams could influence the La Liga title, which is a sentence none of us thought would be uttered.
He won't be doing that.
He'll influence it. There'll be 3 points on
goal
on,
difference.
Don't worry, Barcelona. We've got this one. We'll help you out. But what a game was. We could spend the rest of the evening talking about it, but we can't, because we've got to go to the highlights of the weekend. But Luke Moore.
Yes, highlights of the weekend. Step up. I've got some good ones this time round. What have we got here? Tom Carpenter. This feeds onto the back of something you just said, Jim, about Sergio Ramos. The realisation that Roy Keane and Patrick Vieira combined picked up 22 red cards across their career makes Sergio Ramos, what he's done this weekend, even better, and he's still got time for more.
More are inevitable.
I find Ramos and Pique, they always spat, but when they play for Spain,
I know, they love it.
It's mad.
They're pals. Samuel Malga here says Arsene Wenger becoming the only manager to have beaten all three teams Pep Guardiola has managed.
Wow.
In Arsene Wenger, we trust.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, all right, fair enough. Tom Carter tapping into what I'd said about Tim Sherwood, blaming Swindon Borough Council for his side being relegated, then claiming it wasn't anything to do with him because it wasn't a job in the first place. Standing up tall there.
Staggering stuff.
Yeah, Alan Rutley, this is quite good. We should have mentioned this. Danny Murphy blaming Tottenham's loss on the length of the grass at Wembley. Did you see that?
I heard him talking about
this
that.
This is really weird. So
he's very selective, wasn't he, with his evidence?
He's he's a bit of a wrong on Danny Murphy. I'm not a fan of that. He said, oh, yeah, it's to do with the size of the pitch and blah, blah. And then the commentator said something back to him. And he went, oh, no, actually, well, to be fair, it's all about the length of the grass. Different grass. And I did a bit of research, and it turns out that Wembley and White Hart Lane both use Deso Grassmaster.
Is that right?
The grass is the same.
Quite the expert on the old pitches these days.
I got it wrong last time, but I think it's right that time.
Yeah.
What have we got here? Stephen Bowe. 55 minutes into the Spurs-Chelsea game, live on network TV here in the United States, Clive Allen pipes up with this nugget of wisdom. This is an FA Cup tie.
Yep.
Thanks, Clive. Neil Blackwood, ex-Ipswich keeper, scoring two own goals to give Norwich a win with no shots on target, both off-target shots taken by Alex Pritchard, who was about to sign for Brighton until we hijacked the deal, also stopping our ex-manager winning the league at our place. Narrative.
That is full of narrative.
So much narrative, it's actually quite confusing. Yeah. That's when you know a narrative's really got up there. You know, you can't really follow what's happening.
It's a Netflix series, that is.
Yeah, I've got Matthew Moore. The race for the playoffs hotting up in League 2 is 6 points separating 6th and 14th with two games to go. Not interested in life down there, mate. Not about that playoffs life.
Yeah.
Auto promo all the way for me. But thanks for getting in touch, Matt. Mm. It must be horrible supporting a team in that position. Me and Pete are all about the promotions.
Yeah.
I'll finish up for this one from Charlie Platt. My highlight was the revival of the feud between Raymond Domenech and Nicolas Anelka using Kylian Mbappe as the medium for their digs. Domenech warned Mbappe in an interview saying that he could either end up like Ronaldo or Anelka. Anelka responded by saying Mbappe could have a career like you, Domenech. Average League One player, under 21 coach for 15 years without winning anything, unemployed since 2010, and now writing a column for a newspaper, which ended your coaching career. World Cup 2010 was almost 7 years ago, and they're still going at it.
My goodness. Great.
Comprehensive, though. Nice.
And on a rather more sombre note, I should point out that we were very, very saddened to see the passing of Hugo Ekio, much respected coach, and fantastic player, by the way.
It's a huge player, a colossus, wasn't he?
For those who are a bit too young to have seen him play, he would have, and probably should have, got quite a few more England caps before he got. He's a fantastic defender back in the day, so very sad, and condolences to his family and his friends.
Awful business. Scored the first goal under Sven's first goal in charge of England.
That's right, and that was on his debut, I think. Yeah.
His legend is secure.
Yeah, indeed it is. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Don't forget the live show on the 27th of May.
I've had a few emails and a few messages about this, saying, oh, there's only seats at the back and in the balcony left. Are they okay? It's a beautiful theatre.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You will be able to see perfectly and hear perfectly wherever you sit, so don't be put off by the seats right at the back or upstairs. It's all fine, trust us. It's perfect.
Well, we saw that last time. We're going to do it again. Gosh darn it, so get your tickets.
Even if Pete has to buy all of them.
Yeah.
just put his weird clothes on all the seats.
Mannequins. So Hackney Empire website and our social media feeds to check those tickets out. And it's paid on Friday, so you can buy them then if you want as well.
There we are. Lovely old job. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye-bye.
Cheerio from me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.